I got that word from God. Could anybody even hazard to guess what I'm going to be talking about? I did say spiritual warfare, but we're going to talk about Samson. Amen. Father, we just pray as we just turn to your word right now that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Thank you, Lord, for touching Ash's life, that he got born again. Thank you for touching Tony's life, that he's born again. Thank you, Lord, for this missions pledges, nearly $92,000. To God be the glory. Lord, as a church, we got so much to celebrate. We celebrate your presence right now. And Lord, we thank you that we've got a Bible that we can read. And Lord, we've got a sermon we can hear. And Lord, we just pray right now our hearts will be ready and open to receive from you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. I think the story of Samson, without a doubt, and when I was a child, you know, hearing the story of Samson was just, I just love the story of Samson, strong man. Great story. It's one of the most remarkable stories in the Bible. And so in view of Tony getting his hair cut, I thought the story of Samson was very appropriate for us all today. Amen. Praise God. I really need to blow my nose properly there, Rochelle. Just a bit of background because, you know, you can't presume everybody knows about Samson and maybe there's things about him that you don't know. But years before Samson was born, the tiny nation of Israel, which is the focus of the Old Testament, you know, we all remember how they'd escaped out of Egypt with Moses and they settled in the land of Canaan, and that's where they are today. But when they first came into the land of Canaan, they actually didn't have a king. A lot of people don't realize that because God was supposed to be their king. However, what God did do is that God raised up national leaders, and these national leaders were called judges. And of course, that's where you find the story of Samson in the Bible, in the book of Judges. These judges often helped the nation of Israel to deal with the powerful enemies that kept trying to invade them. And these judges, these leaders, endeavored to turn the nation of Israel back to God when they backslid, because they had a history of backsliding from God. And Samson, a lot of people don't know this, but Samson was actually one of these judges. But Samson was also a very unusual man for a number of reasons. Firstly, his birth had been prophesied by an angel to his childless parents. He was their only child. So you could say that Samson had a supernatural beginning. Secondly, the second thing that's unusual about him is that from birth, Samson was called by God to serve him and to help him rescue Israel from the barbaric Philistines. The Philistines are the bad guys. Thirdly, as part of his devotion and service to God, Samson became a Nazarite. That's a funny word, isn't it? It sounds like something from out of Star Wars, doesn't it? But he became a Nazarite. A Nazarite was not someone who came from the town of Nazareth, like Jesus did. Jesus came from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. He came from Nazareth. A Nazarite was different. A Nazarite was someone in ancient Israel who, out of their hunger for God, voluntarily took a vow of dedication and consecration to Almighty God. The Nazarite effectively said to God, "I'm no longer for myself, or for the world, or anything else." And they said to God, "I am for your use, Almighty God, and for your satisfaction." That's what consecration means. It's dedication, dedicating yourself to God. And the Nazarites took their vows very, very seriously. Incidentally, as followers of Jesus Christ, do we have any followers of Jesus Christ today? Of course we do. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are also called to be dedicated and consecrated to God. And we should take it very seriously as well. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, a lot of you know this Bible passage. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, real life church, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies," this is consecration, dedication, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What a great passage. What a challenging passage. Some people in ancient Israel chose to become a Nazarite for a short time. Most only became a Nazarite for 30 days. However, some chose to become a Nazarite for life. Samson was a Nazarite. Another famous Nazarite in the Bible is the prophet Samuel. He was also a Nazarite, devoted to God for life. We Christians, we're not called to serve God for 30 days or 60 days. We're called to follow God forever. Amen? And Samson also was called by God to be a Nazarite for his whole life. Now, as a Nazarite, there were things that Samson was not allowed to do. Same for us. But for him, in ancient Israel, one of the things he wasn't allowed to do is that he was not allowed to have a beer. He wasn't allowed to drink alcohol. And the other thing was Samson was not permitted to cut his hair. That reminds me of my boys when I used to take them when they were little to the barbers. Now, until today, Tony, you've certainly said it to me, that you've not had a haircut since 2004, is that right? A light trim in 2004, and you haven't had scissors touch your hair since then. That's a long time. But Samson never had his hair cut ever. Never. From a child through to a grown man, never had scissors touch his hair. The other unusual thing about Samson was this. Samson was unusual in that God had given him a unique gift. When confronted with danger, the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson. And then the Holy Spirit would give him unusual physical strength. Now, Samson didn't have great organizational abilities. Neither was Samson a prophet. They were not his gifts. Samson was just very, very strong when the Holy Spirit anointed him. I want to stress this. Samson wasn't strong because he went to the gym and pumped weights. He was strong only when anointed by God the Holy Spirit. That was his gift from God. So anyway, Samson eventually became a judge over the nation of Israel. And he led Israel for over 20 years during a time in their history when the bad guys, the Philistines, were severely oppressing them. Now, because of his unique gift, Samson was effectively invincible. Even when a lion in the prime of its strength and life, attacked him, Samson killed it with his bare hands. Wow. Can we say that word backwards? Wow. Who remembers Johnny Weissmuller? Was that his name? It's Tarzan. Who remembers that? Wrestling with an angel. Wrestling with a lion. You could see it was a stuffed toy and everything else like that. Samson really did this with this lion. Samson was like a one-man army that could not be overwhelmed. For example, on one occasion, the Philistines became so angry with Samson constantly badgering them that they sent 1,000 fully armed and fully trained men to capture him. But this is what the Bible says. It says, the Philistines came shouting in triumph, all 1,000 of them, because they thought they had this done. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. Watch out, Philistines! Samson looked for a weapon. He looked on the ground and he picked up a dry jawbone of a donkey to use as his weapon. And that's what's in the hand there on that picture. And with that jawbone as his weapon, and with the anointing of God, he defeated 1,000 men with their swords and spears. He killed them all. Wow! He was the last man standing. The enemy, the Philistines, were just devastated by this event. And Israel started to hope again for freedom. Now, all of these amazing stories, and there's many others about Samson, are in the Old Testament to teach us about the ways of God and the ways of the Christian life and about spiritual warfare. And you can read the whole story of Samson for yourself and learn many lessons. Is everybody still with me? Good. What I want to do right now, we've got this introduction, I want us to fast forward Samson's life to his infamous encounter with a mysterious woman named Delilah. We're not told how Samson met Delilah, But it's clear from the Bible that Samson had somehow fallen in love with Delilah. He was smitten by her. But the problem with Delilah was that she was a Philistine. It's already stated, and we've got to get this, the Philistines were the enemies of Israel. This runs really deep, by the way, just for a little bit of historical thing. They were the Goliath was a Philistine. This is ongoing trouble with the Philistines. Even today, the word Palestine takes its root meaning from the word Philistine. And when Israel was finally exiled, this has just gone on a tangent, exiled after the temple was destroyed, Caesar was so angry with the Jews and their rebelliousness, he says, I'm going to change the name of that land. Tell me who were their number one enemies in the history. And they said the Philistines. And it was actually the Caesars that named that piece of land Palestine. These people were bad. They were the enemies of Israel. And therefore, they were the enemies of God. And they were brutally treating the Israelites. So we've got to ask the question, and it's a legitimate question, and there's double meanings with some of these questions, and may God speak to you. But what was Samson doing hanging out with this woman? What was he doing hanging out with her? Why was he hanging out with one of the brutal enemies of Israel? After all, there were plenty of girls in Israel. Yet Samson started publicly dating Delilah. And it was really disturbing. This wasn't the first time. It wasn't the first time Samson had done this. He had dated and he'd even married a Philistine woman before. He was a womanizer. Clearly, there was a disturbing pattern of behavior in Samson's life that he never did anything about. If you've got a problem, don't sweep it under the carpet. Deal with it. And so eventually, Samson fell in love with Delilah, and he later ended up paying the price for his lack of discipline. Philistine leaders were just delighted. They were just delighted that Samson had fallen in love with Delilah. So they encouraged Delilah to find out what the secret of Samson's strength was. They even offered her money to motivate her. So Delilah was delighted. And she made it her job to get Samson to tell her why he was so strong and invincible. Samson was in love with Delilah. Delilah was not in love with him. We could talk a lot about that, couldn't we? So every day, Delilah asked Samson what the secret of his strength was. Samson, what's the secret of your strength? And Samson would make up a lie about how he could be made weak and how he could be overcome. And Delilah would test him out, and then she would invite soldiers to come and get him. But every time, Samson would get up, he would defeat the soldiers coming to get him. However, never once, what an idiot this guy was, never once did Samson question Delilah's behavior. Never once. He was just so intoxicated and deceived by her. Ironically, Samson was such a strong man, but Samson showed no strength of character. So Delilah cleverly manipulated Samson, and she nagged him. She nagged him about why he was lying to her about his strength. So Samson felt bad, and he didn't want to lose her because she looked so good. And so he started to talk then about his hair. And he said things like, if you weave my long hair into fabric, I would just be like any other guy. I'd be weak. So while Samson was sleeping, she weaved his long hair with fabric. You think that would have been a giveaway to him, wouldn't you? However, when the soldiers came to capture him, Samson quickly defeated them. So he lied to her once again, and she was so upset. So she nagged him again, and again, and again, and again, demanding the truth. Where is this relationship going if you don't tell me the truth? The Bible says, and you can read it for yourself, that she even pouted her lips. And she made it out that he had hurt her. He was the one with the problem. It hurt her by withholding his secret. So eventually, Samson couldn't take it anymore, and he told her the whole truth. He said this, "My hair has never been cut, for I was a Nazarite from birth. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." So while Samson slept, she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she cried out, "Samson, wake up! The Philistines have come to capture you." And that's where in the book of Judges, we come to one of the saddest verses in the Bible. The Bible says this in Judges 16:20, it says, "And when he woke up, he thought, 'I will do as before and shake myself free.' But he didn't realize that the Lord had left him." He didn't realize that the Lord had left him. And tragically, Samson the invincible was easily overwhelmed and he was captured by the brutal Philistines, and this event should never have happened. So, it brings us to an important question. Where did Samson's strength go? And what was, really, what was the big deal about Samson's hair? Why was his hair so important? The answer is, remember, he was a Nazarite. He'd made vows of dedication and consecration to God. And the uncut hair of the Nazarite was a visible and clear sign of the Nazarite's sworn oath and consecration to Almighty God. The long hair of Samson represented his vows of dedication he had made to Almighty God. And God responded to Samson's vows and anointed him with supernatural power. Samson's enormous strength came from the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came because of his vows. However, when Samson had his hair cut, then he was effectively and foolishly saying to God, "I am no longer consecrated to you, and I cease keeping my vows of being totally yours." And therefore, God was no longer obliged to anoint Samson with his Holy Spirit. And so Samson lost his supernatural strength. And the enemy easily overcame him. And sadly, Samson did not even realize the anointing had gone. He didn't even realize that the Lord had left him. His deplorable lifestyle had desensitized him to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody still with me? This is the rub. Samson represents you and he represents me. He's here in the Bible so we do not make the same foolish, dumb mistakes that he did. He's in the Bible so we can learn to be victorious instead of being losers. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a loser. I want to be victorious in Jesus' name. Samson represents you and me. First of all, Samson had a supernatural birth, and so have we. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Secondly, Samson was called to belong to God from birth, and so have we. From the moment we got born again, we've been called by God to belong to Him. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." You're His. Number three, just as Samson wore long hair that shouted to the ancient Israelites that he was given over to God, so too we Christians have our own way of shouting loudly to the world that we belong to God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Jesus said in John 13, 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love." They're the kind of signs. This is our hair, our long hair, that we show the world that we're truly devoted to God. Number four, just as Samson said his vows to God, so have we. Our vow or confession is, "Jesus Christ is my Lord." Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's our confession. That's our vow. Jesus is Lord. Number 5, and just as Samson was called to war against the Philistine enemies, we're also called to war against spiritual enemies. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. We're in a spiritual warfare. Number 6, just as Samson had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so too we've been given the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, but you belong to God, my dear children, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. That's a great verse. Come on, that's a great verse. Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Samson represents you. He represents me. But thank God that we don't have to make the same mistakes as Samson. Now, the ancient Philistines, as I've said, how they were the bad guys, but they actually represent the spirit of the world that buffets you. You've had some buffeting this week. That's the spirit of the world. That's what the ancient Philistines represented. They represented everything that is opposed to God and opposed to what is good. The Philistines were the constant enemies of God's people. And we have a constant enemy today. It's not people, it's the wicked one. Samson knew all of this, and yet he still allowed himself to fall in love with a wicked Philistine woman. And Samson, like people do, he justified it. He would have rationalized it, no doubt. He would have justified his relationship with his Israelite friends when they said, oh, isn't there enough girls in Israel? He said, oh, she's different. She's just so pretty. She's just so much fun. Israelite girls are so boring. She's sexy. She's kind. She understands me. She makes me feel so good. Of course, I'd heard all that before with his last girlfriend. But Delilah had one objective, and that was to bring Samson down, and the stupid idiot couldn't even see it. And that's what the Philistines do to the people of God. That's what the spirit of the world does to the people of God. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, and we're all in it, whether we like it or not, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we're ready for the big problems. We're ready for those buffeting waves we spoke about last week. We're ready to fight those major struggles because we know that trouble is part of life and those difficulties are real. We're ready for the big stuff. Samson was like that. He was ready for a fight. Of course he was. He was ready for those Philistine soldiers. In fact, he used to enjoy it, probably. He was ready to fight another 1,000 men. He was ready to get down and dirty and sweaty fighting those ugly Philistine men. But he forgot, Samson forgot, that sometimes the Philistines can also be very pretty and very desirable as well. And ladies and gentlemen at Real Life Church, the enemy has all sorts of strategies to separate you from your God and bring you down in shame and defeat. If the enemy can't bring you down with a problem, he may try and bring you down with a success. You don't want every success in life. If he can't get you with the buffeting waves, then he might send you a Delilah. And Delilahs, they come in all sorts of disguises, tailored to match your weaknesses. That's why John the Apostle implores us today. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 7, he says, and I could, as I read this, I could just hear the Apostle John's cry of his heart to the Christians. He says, don't love this world. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, brothers and sisters, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements. Don't we see a lot of that? And in our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred alluded to that this morning. This world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. When the Philistines captured Samson, first time in his life he'd ever been captured or overwhelmed. the first thing the Philistines did was to gouge out his eyes before throwing him in jail. The Philistines caused Samson to break his devotion to God, and then they took away his vision. That's what the enemy wants to do. They humiliated him, and they put him in captivity. Samson has shipwrecked his faith, destroyed his life, and that is the eventual outcome for the believer when they fall in love with the world. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, stay alert. Come on, wake up. Stay alert. Watch out. Watch out, everybody, for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Everybody at Real Life Church, don't be that someone. Everybody listen to me. Don't be that someone. Don't be a loser. Stay the course. Run your race all the way into eternity. Don't move to the left. Don't move to the right. Stay the course. Stay alert. Wake up. Run your race. See, spiritual warfare is far more than battling through the difficulties of life to victory. Spiritual warfare is all saying a firm no to the things of the world. Whatever they may be, however they come. These things that separate us from Almighty God, we all need to watch out and stay alert. Amen? And this is a thing I just want to put out here right now. I'm rounding off I really am. Listen to what I'm going to say right now. You cannot play the fool and mess around with the tinsel of this world and still expect God to bless your life and expect God to anoint you with His Holy Spirit. You cannot possibly expect God to favor you and answer your prayers if you've turned your back on God like Samson did. And Samson found that out the hard way. He knew his strength came from the Lord, yet after he betrayed his God and cut his hair, he still expected the Lord to bless him. But God had left him. Something else I just want to put out there, and I'm happy to discuss this later. Contrary to what some people may say, God's grace, God's love, and God's favor, and God's promises come with conditions attached. I really want everybody to understand that. Sometimes our language communicates the wrong impression of God. God's grace, God's love, and God's favor and God's promises come with conditions attached. For example, this is a simple one. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and then He will draw near to you. You know, you want God in your life? Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Here's a tough one, and the Bible's full of these. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord. Now, that's interesting, Lord, Lord. Just a bit of background, that actually is a term of affection and endearment. Somebody actually is saying, I love you, Jesus. So we could change that to say, not everyone who says, Jesus, I love you, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Wow. It's worth checking God's conditions. Check the small print of the Bible, everybody. And Samson should have done that before he messed around with Delilah. He forgot to check the small print. Samson failed his calling because he fell in love with the world and because he stopped fearing Almighty God. Just a pause. I know time's nearly gone. But I want to say this about that fear in Almighty God. Can I say this? I've heard people talk about this, and I've even preached about myself, because we don't want anybody to be afraid. And we say the word fear in there means to have a deep respect for God. Hey, come on, let's just get over it. Sometimes I am afraid of God. Sometimes a good little bit of fear and a fear of God is a good thing. It's got to be more than just deep respect. Do you know this? Sometimes when I've been tempted to do something wrong over my life, been in difficult situations, with temptation, but you know, the only thing that stopped me was because I feared God. Not because I felt the anointing, not because I was feeling all warm and fuzzy, it's because I thought, I don't want to have to stand before Almighty God and have to give an explanation for if I behave in this way. I think the fear of God is a healthy thing, ladies and gentlemen. Samson's story is in the Bible to warn us so we do not make the same mistakes as he did. Rather, we want to be overwhelmingly victorious and we want to overcome the enemy. So don't fall in love with this crazy world and always choose to fear God. Amen? So in conclusion, what if you have? What if you have been foolish like Samson? What if you've been foolish like Samson right now? You know, you're coming to church and everything else like that, but stuff's going on in the week. What if you're compromising your faith today and pursuing things that you know is dishonoring God and makes you a bit of a hypocrite? What do you do? Well, I've actually got a word from God for you. And would everybody listen to this word from God? It is from the Lord. Listen carefully. Everybody ready? Are you ready? If you are being foolish and compromising your faith today and pursuing things that dishonor God, here's a word from God for you. Cut it out. Stop it. Get a grip. Stop what you're doing today and make things right with God. Run back to the Lord before it's too late for you. Did I get the message across just then, everybody? You know, Samson was in conclusion, he was thrown into jail grinding wheat. He was blind, he was broken, but his hair began to grow. And at that time, the Philistines, they had this huge festival and a huge building to celebrate their God. And Samson was brought out so they could mock him, you know the story. But while standing there, he said to the boy who had brought him in, out into the temple, place my hands against the pillars holding up the temple. That's how they were structured. The temple was packed with Philistines and most of the Philistine leadership was there. And Samson prayed, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. And God, ladies and gentlemen, who is rich in mercy, heard the humble prayer of Samson. Samson pushed on those pillars and once more the anointing of God came upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him again and the Holy Spirit gave him supernatural strength and the entire building collapsed upon Samson and the Philistines. It's the biggest victory he ever had. In fact, history tells us the effects of that victory over the Philistines affected the Philistines for the next 100 years. They lost all their leadership because of Samson. Samson died doing what God had originally called him to do, and he brought about a great victory for Israel. God is the God of the second chance. He's a God of the third chance. He's a merciful God, and God restores those who are humble in heart. Psalm 51 verse 17 says about God, the sacrifice, this is about God, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. God restores people, but there is a condition attached. God only restores those who are broken and repentant in heart. What about you? Have you been playing the fool like Samson? Well, stop it. Stop it. This is not a game. Stop it. Have you compromised your faith in Christ? Run back to God today. Today, turn back to the Lord. And say no to the enemy and yes to Jesus Christ. And that's the end of the sermon. Let's bow our heads and let's just pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, come upon people in this service right now. At the end of this service, I just pray a fresh anointing upon this congregation right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit is here, very strong. And he's calling out to you today because he loves you. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, dear brother, are you compromising your faith? Dear sister, are you compromising your faith? Today is a day to get right with God. I'm talking to Christian people today. People who are the people of God today. We're in a spiritual warfare. Wake up. Open your eyes. A Delilah has stepped into your life. We need to do something about it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, why don't you repent and turn to the Lord? Yes, Christians need to repent often regularly. The Lord will restore you. And this is a sacred moment. This is a holy moment. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And to be honest with you, I just want to make sure you get through those pearly gates. That's what this is about today. And if today you're repentant, you're saying, yes, I do want to repent. And I'm going to run from that. I'm going to run from that. That's what repentance means. I'm going to run back to God. I'm putting that Delilah away. I'm putting that temptation away. I'm saying no to the enemy and yes to God, yes to Jesus. I'm going to reaffirm my vow. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And if that's you today and this message has resonated with you, you've got to do something. Just take a faith step today as part of your repentance and humbling yourself. Why don't you, where you are seated, if that's you and I'm going to pray a prayer, just stand to your feet. You're saying, God, I'm repenting. I'm humbling myself. Nobody has a right to ask you what that's about, but that's between you and God right now. Why don't you stand to your feet and then in a moment, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. If that's you, you just stand to your feet where you are in Jesus' name. It's between you and God. And I've just been obedient to bring this message today. Others, just stand at your feet. And let's just focus on ourselves. I don't want anybody looking around. And then we lose the whole point of what this is about. God is speaking. God bless you. It's a tough, tough thing to stand. But God's put His finger upon your life. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Can I pray for you today? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father, we just come before you. Firstly, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us enough to rebuke us from time to time. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good Father. Thank you that you care enough for us just to speak to us this morning. Father, we just present ourselves to you as people, Lord, humbling themselves, repenting today. And Lord, we thank you for that word that says the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And Lord, as my brothers and sisters right now are standing before you, this is a sacred moment. Lord, as they are humbling themselves before you, making their confessions to you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll restore to them the joy of your salvation. I pray, Lord, that you will cleanse away all sin. I pray you'll forgive for foolishness. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes today so that we can see the Delilahs that have stepped into our world, into our lives. And Lord, we run away today from those Delilahs. We give them to you and we turn back to you with all of our heart. I pray right now for those who are standing that, Lord, you will overshadow them, Lord, with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, that you restore them 100% to yourself, Lord. I pray any gap between them and you will be closed today in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do a mighty work of restoration, Lord, with these people's hearts are repentant this morning. And today, we will be careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. And for those who are standing, may God hear your prayers this day, and may God grant to you the desires of your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.